He played 15 years in the NFL.
A quick throw. Touchdown, Derek Mason.
He had over 12,000 receiving yards.
Midfield, and there he goes. 80 yards for the touchdown.
And now you can ask him anything. Have a question about football or life? Now's your time to ask D-Mace.
We'll welcome you in.
Now.
D-Mace.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and the Game Nashville app.
It is time for Ask D-Mace on D-Mace, Vingan and Donick. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are live at First Horizon Park. Sounds versus Tides, 6:35 p.m. first pitch on 94.9 The Fan with our friend Jeff Hem. But it is time for Ask D-Mace. Call us, text us, 615-737-1025. If you've got something to ask Derek, let's start with Mike on our phone line. Mike, thank you for calling. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. D-Mace, Carnell Tate, they announced that he's going to be wearing number 14 for the Titans this year. Back in your day, all the wide receivers were wearing numbers in the 80s. What do you think changed about receivers wanting to wear numbers in the teens now?
Thank you for the call, Mike.
Thank you for the call, Mike. I think a lot of it has to do with college now, or even high school. Because in high school, you're not getting a 80s number. You're typically, if you're the best player or one of the best players, you're getting a single-digit number or, you know, in the teens. And it seems what is happening now, because they've opened up the number vault, meaning at one point wide receivers can only wear, you know, numbers in the 80s. Very seldom did you see wide receivers outside of that number. I think, Cliff Branch, what number did he
21.
Wear?
21.
He wore 21. I think he may have been only maybe few guys that wore that number at the wide receiver position.
Yeah, it used
position.
To be kind of a rare thing. You would notice it if a guy wasn't wearing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but I think, you know, over the last, I would say 10 years, probably a little less than that, guys are sort of, they get comfortable with the number. The number becomes their identity in a sense in high school, especially if you were an all-world player or USA player or Gatorade player, whatever. They typically want to take that number from high school to college, and then now they can do it in the pros because now you're able to wear single digits as a wide receiver. So I think it's more so of that than anything, because Carnell Tate went through it. He said he wanted to wear 17, but DK has it. And now he's choosing to wear 14. And he said, you know, 14, I think he said that because of his mom's birthday.
Yep.
The four.
And his first round fourth
pick. First round pick. So I thought that was sentimental. See, it's like, man, you make the number. You make the number. If you get a number, make it. And he's starting to make 14 his number. So sort of in a long way, that's what has happened. I don't think the league has sort of, you have to wear it. But they've opened it up to wide receivers.
It looks like in 20. It looks like from the 2020 season and earlier, wide receivers could only wear 10 through 19 and 80 through 89. Since the 2023 season, wide receivers can wear 0 through 49 and 80 through 89.
Yeah, so see, they've opened it up for everybody. They've opened it up for the wide receivers at least, where and defensive guys, linebackers, you know, they can wear single digits or whatever. So, you know, now it's not just – you know, the 80s number is not, or the single digits is not just for like quarterbacks.
The only player, yes, the only players before 2023 who could wear single digits were quarterbacks, punters, and place kickers.
Yeah. So now they've opened it up.
Let's go to James in Ashland City on our phone line. James, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Well, thanks for taking my phone call. I'm the guy who called 2 days ago and had phone issues and just couldn't get my question in. Now, this is not the reason I called, but I do want to let you guys know that on the previous caller, that was a great question, by the way, and I've wondered the same thing. But I do want to let you know that Kenny Burrows from the Houston Oilers in the late 70s wore double zero.
Double zero.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
D-Mace, you might have forgot about that. But I was a little kid back then, but I remember Kenny Burrows in double zero. But anyway,
he did.
What I wanted to ask you D-Mace is this, and I'm going to go ahead and admit I'm probably a UT homer here. You probably already know where I'm going with this.
Yes.
I want to just go briefly talk about the backups. Let's start with Mitchell Trubisky. How many starts did he have at North Carolina? He had less than 10 starts. He should have never been drafted in the first round. He's terrible. He's terrible. He's absolutely garbage, man. And I'm just saying, I know they brought him in. They signed him for a lot of money for somebody who hasn't done nothing in the league already. Now, let's go to my guy, Hendon Hooker. In my personal opinion, as a lifelong UT fan, this man has been the best quarterback for UT, playing at UT, since Peyton Manning, and some of his numbers are better than Peyton Manning's. Now, I don't think the guy's got to play. He came in hurt at Detroit, backing up Jared Goff. I personally don't think he's never got a proper shot and a chance to play that position and show what he's got. Now, I realized I'm being a homer. And who's the third quarterback that they brought in?
It's Will Levis and –
Will Levis, Hendon Hooker, Hendon Mitch Trubisky,
okay,
and Cam Ward.
Tell me, Will Levis probably has a stronger arm than Hendon Hooker. But my question now, before I get off here, is do you think Hendon Hooker will get a fair opportunity to be Cam's backup? And I'm going to hang up and listen to your answer. Thank you for taking
my James.
Call.
Thank you, James. Well, right now, no, I don't think this season he would be, and I don't think they're looking for him.
You just dashed James' dreams immediately.
The backup for Cam Ward. Now, after the season, I, if he's still on the team, I'm not going to sit here and say he couldn't be, Cam Ward's backup. And then, by the way, T. Martin would have had something to say about that. T. did win a national championship, and he played quarterback pretty well for the university. But he's no Peyton Manning. I get that. But you got to throw T. Martin in there just for the simple fact he won a national championship. So you got to throw him in there with the mix with Hendon Hooker. But I don't know. I think Hendon Hooker falls into the category of what I believe Vol wide receivers fall into. We're only getting you ready to play for this level. This wide open offense where you really don't have to read defenses, well, at least you only have to read one side of the field. And that was the knock on him when he came out, that they didn't feel, because of he was in that system, that he read the complete – and all quarterbacks go through that. But when you're in a system like that, it's really hard. It makes it difficult for you when you come to the next level and you got to read defenses. You got to really know it, because when he was in college – and, again, it's not his fault, but when he was in college, when he got to the line of scrimmage – one, he looked to the sideline. Two, the defense already declared itself. Now, you may have had some defenses that could disguise it a little bit, Alabama, Georgia, teams like that. But for the most part, even those teams, when that up-tempo offense and that spread offense, it's hard to not declare your defense right away. So that was a bonus for him. And then when you come in the NFL and it's not like that, then that's the learning curve. That's the difficult part.
Let's go to Tim on our phone line. Tim, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show. D-Mace. Carnell Tate, I think he was a little bit of a reach. Remember the last wide receiver we took in the first round? He was going to replace A.J. Brown, the next big thing. Where is he at?
I think he's with the Commanders. I think so. Yeah. He caught a touchdown last year.
He had a great catch on that. Was it a Sunday night game?
Yeah, he's probably on the injured reserve with him.
Yeah, you could be right, too.
Or he can't breathe. One or the other. Could be both.
Yes, the asthma.
Bad. And when you're going to show up for camp, you need to be in shape, you would think. But maybe not. Carnell Tate, I think, is a reach.
Thank you, Tim. Wait, you have a question?
You got some more? Did we cut him off?
I think we cut him. Oh, no, he's there. Tim, you there?
Go ahead, Tim.
No, I'm here. I said.
I thought you were just making a statement on Ask D-Mace. I'm sorry.
Yes, go ahead.
He's a reach. I think we could have got more for our money at that pick than what we got.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it. Now, see, that's the thing we don't know.
I thought he was making a declarative statement. They just wanted to call and said, it was a reach. Okay, thanks, Tim.
Well, there are some people that believe it was a reach. Yeah. When I saw it, I was like, wow. Not because they took him, because, once Jeremiah Love went off the board, I thought that maybe they would try to move down and still be able to get Carnell Tate, but try to get something for him. But maybe no one offered to move up or offer enough to move up to get their guy. Because once Love was taken, I think the board was falling the way some people wanted it to. So they felt they didn't have to move up to try to get their guy, which in that case, I believe it was down to two guys. It could have been a third guy, but
it
I
sounds
can't say
like
that.
It was between Tate Jerilai and
Love.
Reed.
Well, I believe it was between Love and Tate
at number four.
At number four, and I think they took Love, so the Titans took the next offensive guy that they wanted.
I think once Love was off the board, it was between Tate and Reese.
Okay,
those were the two choices at number four.
Yeah, so I don't think. Listen, I don't think it was a reach necessarily. I think he's a number one. I think he's going to be a number one. I think he has all the tools that you look for in a number one receiver. He doesn't have to run a 4.43, you know, a 4.2. His 4.5 at 6.2, 6.3 will be fast enough. Once he gets stronger, he can run through a lot of those arm tackles. So I'm betting that he becomes their number one wide receiver very quickly.
Let's go to Trey on our phone line. Trey, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, good. Trey.
Hey, I just wanted to say that, you know, I kind of, you know, gave Cam Ward the business last year because, you know, he really didn't know the playbook that well. But he can't complain this year about the playbook. This is a whole different scenario, you know, from the time he's been in college up until now. You know, had five different playbooks or so. He shouldn't be complaining. He should be able to run those simple plays effectively. Effectively. Not go back there and not know what to do, you know, not read defenses. The simple things he need to do effectively. And then he can work on the major stuff. I want to see Cam Ward develop at least 60% better than last year. I don't know if I'll get that, but I want to see a 60% progression in Cam Ward because this lies on Cam Ward. Cam Ward only. There's no excuses, and I love y'all. Have a good evening.
I do want to be clear about one thing.
He was very stern, and then he was very friendly.
Exactly.
Well, I do want to be clear about one thing. There were zero questions to Derek in that conference.
Yeah. He made a bunch of statements.
It's called Ask D-Mace, Trey, but we appreciate the call.
No, but even with that, Trey, listen. One thing I do like about Trey, he's not going to mince his words, but then he's right. he's been saying this the whole time.
Yes,
he's been on this the whole time, so it's not like he's all of a sudden changed or anything. Trey, I think you can say from when you first saw Cam Ward his first game and you criticized, you know, you critiqued him then, which was great, which was cool, no problem. You critiqued him then, but then once you saw him in the second half of the season, you gotta be honest with yourself. He looked much better. He looked more comfortable with what he was doing out there on the field. And I just expect that I expect him to go out there and be that and even better. Now, he's not a finished product, but I think he's going to continue to show that growth that you want to see.
Dustin in Hopkinsville says, "Where's the question, Trey?" I agree. Yeah,
there was none.
Well, sometimes you know when you Trey, you just call.
This is what I appreciate about Trey, and I do appreciate all of you who regularly call and text into the program. We appreciate all of you, but the one thing I appreciate about Trey, he'll come on, he'll be hard and go.
Yes.
Love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
It brightens the day.
That's a good parent technique right there.
Yeah. End on a positive.
You're stern on your kids, but then at the end you say, but I love you. Don't you forget that.
A compliment sandwich.
That's what you call it?
Yes. Derek, you're a great radio host.
Compliment.
You bring in way too many snacks that I eat, but you're an awesome guy.
Right.
That's the progression. Bringing
that's the progression.
Yes, that's the compliment sandwich.
Start with set the table. Yeah. Go in with your constructive criticism. End on a compliment.
And by the way, my criticism of you is more of a criticism of me for having no self-control.
By way.
615-737-1025. We've got some more questions for Derek. If you want to participate and ask D-Mace, you can by calling or texting. 615-737-1025. We'll do it. We'll do more next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here. You're on a Michael Jackson kick today.
I don't really care about us. This is the 80s, man. I'm giving you 80s music. Some Michael Jackson, everybody else in between.
I have told the story on the air before of several years ago, I attended the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil show in Las Vegas. I was in Las Vegas to cover a Predators game.
That was a great show.
You went to it
too?
Yes,
great show.
I was in Las Vegas to cover a Predators game against the Golden Knights. My wife and my parents came out. We made a long weekend out of it. And we went to the Michael Jackson show. But we could not get tickets for the early showing. Mm-hmm. We had to get tickets to the late showing, which started at like 9 or 9:30. And, you know, jet lag and all that. I started nodding off during the show. Not because it wasn't entertaining. It was incredibly entertaining. But I was just exhausted. Mm-hmm. And the timing was impeccable. I woke up during the Thriller section where the zombie performers were in the aisles doing the Thriller dance, and I jumped out of my seat. Imagine dozing off and there being a gyrating zombie within a couple of feet of you.
I would advise anybody, if they haven't seen that and you're in Vegas, go see it.
Absolutely. Let's go back to your questions for Ask D-Mace. If you have a question, 615-737-1025. John says, D-Mace, wondering, from your earlier conversation about Carnell Tate, were you a safe pick for the NFL draft?
No, I was an undervalued pick. That's what I was, if you look at it. But I think when you're drafting an individual, in every player, you want to have a sense of safety. That you're drafting the right guy, that you went out there and the scouts, the GM, the head coaches, they did their job well enough that whoever you're picking, whether it be the first guy or, in my case, the 98th guy, 97th guy, there's a bit of a, okay, I'm drafting him because I feel that he's going to be the kind of guy that we want in our building. So in a sense, that could be a safe pick. Maybe that's a stretch, but I always felt I was an undervalued pick.
What did Derek Mason's scouting report say coming out of Michigan State?
I don't know. I was hurt my senior. I broke my hand, broke my wrist. First game of the season against Purdue. I think it was blatant, too, because I waited for a fair catch. And I was coming in as a return, like an All-American return specialist. And I waited for the fair catch and everything. And that guy still took a bead, right, put his helmet right into my wrist. And I ended up breaking it. So I dealt with injuries. A part of it was, he's a body catcher. But I had to catch the ball with my body because my wrist was broke for half the season. So I had to adjust to it. And I got injured. I broke a rib, too. So. But the biggest thing was he was a body catcher, and he's a slot guy, so to speak. But like I said, I was undervalued.
Joey from Bellevue says, D-Mace, Teron Davenport and Chris Sanders say you look like Papa Smurf. Who from 102.5 would be brainy, grouchy, clumsy, hefty, handy, and jokey?
Well, brainy's sitting right in front of me.
I was about to say, you better not call me hefty.
Exactly. Brainy is sitting right in front of me.
So I'm brainy.
Who else he say?
Grouchy, clumsy.
Is he making up names?
I think Rex Road would be
grouchy.
Grouchy, oh, yes. Yeah. I think Rex Road would be grouchy.
When you've got gout, you're always grouchy.
Who else?
Let's see. There was Handy Smurf.
I could see. No, that would be. I could see Willie be a Handy Smurf.
Well, I think Nick Frazier could be.
Yeah,
handy
I was going to say
Frazier
Nick, but
is
he's
absolutely
on...
Handy Smurf.
Okay, so Frazier would
he's
be
a
Handy
man
Smurf.
Of many talents.
Yes. Yes.
Let's see. There was Hefty Smurf. Be very careful.
I'll take that one for you, D-Mace. You can take me.
Hey, I'm not saying anything. If you want to have it, you can have it. You can have it. Because Hefty is not a big thing. It's not a bad thing, you know? Yeah, it's just kind of, big boned. That's
just to keep you safe. That's all I was doing.
Yes, absolutely. There we go. There we go.
Jokey Smurf.
Oh, wow. Who would be Jokey Smurf?
I don't remember Jokey Smurf.
He was. Jokey Smurf was on there. He was. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know who would be Jokey Smurf. And we don't have no jokesters. Oh, Big Joe. Big Joe.
Okay.
I would say Big Joe. Say Big Joe.
Let me just fill this one in for you. Clumsy is Chase. Clumsy's
yes, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely, that would be Chase.
So did we pick one for Willie?
I don't know. Who would Willie be?
Not Smurfette.
No. There was another Smurf on
Papa
there.
Papa Smurf? Would he be Papa Smurf?
Yeah, I guess
Derek
he, yeah,
is supposed
I'm
to be Papa Smurf.
Oh, you are Papa Smurf. Yes, of course.
That's where this whole thing began. Look,
yes.
We can't. He's definitely not Gargamel.
Gargamel.
He's definitely not Gargamel. I can't say it. I can't say who would be Gargamel, but okay. One name we shall not mention ever again. I'm sorry. I love you. You know who I'm talking to. I love you. I love you. Oh, man.
Okay.
Well, they don't have a Smurf.
Yeah.
We got to really look into this.
We don't have a Smurf.
Yeah. We got to really look.
Because
you
would have
been
a million Smurf.
You would have been Brainy.
Be
you would have been Brainy Smurf, but I give it to Adam.
Which is Derek's way of saying that I'm smarter than you, Willie.
Maybe.
He could be Papa Smurf, but
well,
they already
Papa
named
Smurf.
Me Papa Smurf.
Is he Vanity Smurf?
Nah, Willie, he's
Willie
not.
Willie is not vain.
Yeah, he's not vain.
Is he Harmony Smurf?
He got some harmony
to
him.
Harmony?
Yeah, okay. Willie got some harmony to him.
What about Dreamy Smurf?
Dreamy.
He can be Dreamy Smurf. McDreamy, you know, the doctor.
All right, now, let's not get his ego up, all right?
My head's swelling.
Oh, man.
Our friend Hair Metal Henry says, question for D-Mace, Pringles or Ruffles?
Mm. Ooh, I'm a Pringles dude. I hate Ruffles. I'm not a big Ruffle person. I've never the chip is too thick. Ruffles, this is, yeah. And then after a while they mess with the roof of your mouth.
Yeah.
Because of the Ruffles.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Yeah, I don't like Ruffles. I'm not a Ruffle person, man.
I'm about to tell
you. You're a Ruffle person, Chad? Oh, Chad's
Adam,
Ruffle
are
person.
You
I'm about to tell you an incredibly embarrassing story.
Uh-huh.
About Ruffles?
About Pringles.
About Pringles.
Ooh, Pringles.
About Pringles.
I love Pringles.
Okay. First of all, should I tell the embarrassing story about what happened to me last week at Chicago?
Of course.
Of course. Any embarrassing stories you could tell
okay,
us.
Okay, let's start with that. Last Friday, I realized at the end of our program at Chicago Chicken and Waffles that I was wearing my underwear backwards.
I admire that you would share that with our listeners.
I kept going to
oh, my goodness.
That one could have been Chet
oh,
McCamber.
And he's oh. And you're just calling him Brainy Smurf?
Exactly, yes. Willie. My fault,
I can't
fault,
even
Willie.
Put my underwear on
my
the
fault,
right
Willie.
Way.
I got to give it to you, man.
I went to the restroom a couple of times. I'm like, I'm trying to use the urinal. I'm like, what's going on here? Then I realized I had my underwear on.
There's no
right
garage way. Opener.
What happened? Like, when you,
I don't know.
Were you sleepwalking when you did this?
This is an all-day thing, too.
No, it was before I left to come to the show. Al says, wouldn't Rexford be handy Smurf because of that Vrabel news conference where Vrabel says, what are you doing with your hands?
Hands? Yeah.
Okay, so that's embarrassing story number one.
Oh, man.
Here's embarrassing story number two, which is less embarrassing because it happened to me when I was in college, not last week when I was 37 mm-hmm. and couldn't get dressed correctly.
Fine example you're setting for Arlo.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. So in college, one night, I'm in my dorm room. I'm hungry. I need a snack. I'm all out. So I walk to the campus store, and I buy a can of Pringles. And I just reach for whichever can I found. Do you remember the Wow chips that used to be out, I think, in the 90s? Mm. They were – I'm trying to think of how you would describe them. They were fat-free, but they had some sort of chemical in them to make them taste like they had fat in them. I think that's what it was. And the chemical the company would use mm-hmm. to mimic the taste of fat was called Alestra. Now, here's the thing about Alestra, and I believe it made mention of it on the can and on the bag, that if you eat too much of it in one sitting – something could happen.
Okay.
I demolished the entire can
okay.
without realizing that it had Alestra in it. you can guess how the rest of my night
went. Oh, my goodness.
So I've always been a bit wary of Pringles since then.
Oh, wow. Because of so you're sitting on a throne, huh?
That is one way to put it. Yeah. Yes. And the problem was, because I was living in a dorm, it wasn't a private bathroom.
Oh, wow.
It was a communal bathroom.
Wow, wow. So, okay. All right.
So now that I've gotten that off my chest.
Yes. It's a lot you had to get off your chest, man.
You guys have had to have similar embarrassing stories that you're willing to share.
Man, do I? No, not really. I never put my underwear on backwards, man.
I don't know what the hell happened.
I don't know what you were thinking either.
I'm like, why isn't this working? And then I stepped into the stall and realized, yeah.
That's okay. Why it's that way.
So at that point, did you switch back or did you just ride it out for
the
rest
of the day?
I think
you just got to ride it out until you get home.
Well, let's take us back to Friday. Adam,
exactly.
What was the
decision? I switched it up.
You switched it up.
Ooh. Okay.
I switched it up.
Ooh.
It,
fortunately, I guess nobody walked in.
Were they all on inside out or just backwards?
Right side up, backwards.
I would have left it like that. Now you're bringing a booty snake in the front, man. I'd have left it, Adam. I'd have left it.
Well, the good news was I live very close to Chicken and Waffles, okay. So I didn't have to go very far. But I immediately went upstairs and changed when I got before I said, "Hi, everybody," and went right up the stairs. I'll be right back.
Oh, man. Adam, I'd have left it like that. Just took one on home, man. I wouldn't have changed it.
It's okay. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to embarrass myself.
Hey, ain't nothing wrong with you. Yeah, hey, listen, we all have our embarrassing moments.
Yes.
I've never had the underwear on backwards embarrassing moment, but we've had ours, you know. I'm trying to figure out, have I had? I'm sure I have.
Oh, we've all had embarrassing moments.
In my 52 years of living?
Yes.
Or 51, whatever it is.
But, you know. Now y'all have material the next time I say something you disagree with. Well, why should I listen to you? You can't even put on your underwear correctly.
I'm going to call you booty stank.
We're not going to do that.
Not on air. I'm sorry, y'all. It's Friday. It's Friday. We're having fun with y'all.
Oh, my goodness.
We're having fun with y'all. Anybody got any more questions, man? What else y'all want to know? Huh? Yeah, what else y'all want to know? You want to know something else?
There are texts I cannot read on the text line.
Oh, my goodness.
Despite what I shared on the air. Dustin and Josh, I see your texts. I appreciate them. I'm not going to read them on the air.
That means they were bad, huh?
One texter says, that should have been the question of the day. I don't leave them on and wrote it out. I left them on and wrote it out also.
Yeah, you just got to ride it out, man. You got to leave them on and ride it out.
Oh, boy. 615-737-1025. Now that I've shared that with all of you, any other questions for Derek Mason, 615-737-1025? But we'll wrap up the show. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. We are live at First Horizon Park. Sounds coming up at the top of the hour. Coverage starts near the top of the hour. First pitch, I should say, is at 6:35 on 94.9 The Fan. Sounds versus the Norfolk Tides here at First Horizon Park. Let's go to our phone line and welcome in Jason. Jason, thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, Derek. When they say, like, Grable don't do stupid crap to hurt the team, what do they mean by that? Or what did he do to hurt the team up there?
Well,
thank you, Jason.
Anything that is going to draw negative attention or bad, you know, press to the team. That's or is compromising the team in any way where the focus is no longer, you know, the job at hand. You know, Tomlin says keeping the main thing, that's what you want to do. And in other words, don't do dumb stuff that's going to hurt the team. And unfortunately for Vrabel, did it necessarily hurt the team in the sense of their play on the field? No, but it did hurt the team because you brought negative publicity to the team. You brought a light to the team that they did not want. that goes for a player, and definitely a coach is not immune from that. But if you're saying he did something that compromised the team on the field, probably not in a sense, in that sense. But, yeah, he did draw unwarranted attention, especially when you when it was the draft last week and we were talking more about Vrabel and his escapade than the draft.
Have you seen the latest twist in this saga?
Yeah. What's the latest?
Remember that story that came out a few weeks ago that Diana Russini was involved in a dramatic rescue of an elderly man?
Don't tell me that wasn't true.
Now there is someone refuting that actually happened.
Oh, my goodness.
That she was there,
uh-huh,
but that she did not lead the dramatic rescue.
Well, she helped.
But the original story is that she sprung into action.
Yeah, I thought she was driving, stopped her car in the middle of the, highway, ran over there and just ripped the door open and pulled the guy out. And then the car caught on fire, and she was like, "You okay, sir?" He was like, "Diana, it's you?
Save me.
Save me."
Here's more of that story from the New York Post. Tipster said that while Russini had indeed come into the street to help with the crash, it was in fact the tipster's husband, not Russini, who had freed the driver and his dog by ripping open the canvas roof of the Jeep. The tipster added that Russini had merely held the dog's leash after the pet had been released from the wreckage.
Wow. Ooh, that's bad. So who is the – I want to know who the husband is. Put his name out there.
Well, apparently they tried to contact that guy, and he did not want to talk.
Oh, wanted to talk, okay.
He said nothing.
But Diana hadn't said – so I guess it's not Diana's fault because it's not like,
she got to tell everybody.
Exactly. Somebody just saw her there and embellished the story in a time where she needed it.
She really needed a win.
So I'm not going to make too much. She needed that win. Let her have it.
Okay, so this texter makes me feel less embarrassed about my story in the previous segment. This texter says, "Just got some shorts on last weekend. Didn't look, just put them on, going through my day, put stuff in my pockets, and my wife realized when I got up that my zipper was down, and my zipper was down on the wrong side of my body. Didn't notice at all. I had stuff in my back pocket, and I thought I was putting my front. That's how oblivious I was. So at least I didn't do that."
Wow. It must have been sweatpants or something. He just threw them on.
But sweatpants don't have zippers.
Some sweatpants do.
I have never seen a pair of sweatpants with a zipper.
Fancy sweatpants.
Well, I don't wear the same sweatpants that you wear. One texter says, "Guys, I want some of what y'all are drinking today. I'm just drinking water.
We're all drinking water.
I've got like four bottles of water here. The good news is I did put my underwear on the right way today, so when I have gone to the restroom, it's been no issue."
Have you been doing some special checks the last week just to make sure, like double checking?
But didn't it feel funny to you because you don't have the same walk and
just
sort
when
of
you're sitting down,
you feel a little restricted.
Feel right.
Yeah.
Feel right.
Well, the thing was, I was sitting down for most of that time, right? Because we were on the air. So it might have been different if I had been walking more. But because I was sitting.
You didn't notice yourself getting a wedgie?
Yeah, something.
Exactly.
A little draft back there?
I don't know what else to say. I regret sharing it on the air.
We love you, Adam.
One texter says, "Hey, D-Mace, like Trey, I don't really have a question. Just a bit of admiration. It is so cool as a lifelong Titans fan to get to hear a legend's point of view on football life and even potato chips. Thank you so much for what you do, and let's all love on our people this weekend."
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. You're right. Let's love on our people. And when I mean our people, I mean all people. Just love on them because they are our people. Everybody's our people.
There are plenty of playoff games on tap tonight in the NHL and NBA. In the NHL, Tampa Bay at Montreal. Montreal up 3-2. Buffalo at Boston. Buffalo up 3-2. Vegas at Utah. Vegas up 3-2. In the NBA, Detroit at Orlando. Orlando up 3-2. Cleveland at Toronto. Cleveland up 3-2. The Lakers at Houston. The Lakers up 3-2.
Who's been the most dominant team in the playoffs to y'all, hockey-wise?
In the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Yes.
The Carolina Hurricanes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking
or
the
Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah. The Avalanche probably had the most favorable matchup, too. Uh-huh. They were the biggest favorite, so it's easier to look dominant.
Both teams
Carolina's looked impressive. I would say Carolina is a pretty
solid favorite over Philadelphia.
That'll be an interesting series. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to watch that series. I would say Carolina.
Okay.
I'm really fascinated by Tampa at Montreal.
Every
tonight.
Game has been very
yes.
tight.
And the one thing, Willie, about Montreal that's been incredibly impressive is they're a young team. They're on the come up. They don't have a lot of players with extensive and playoff experience, unlike the Lightning, of course, who are used to being in this situation. I've been really impressed by how Montreal has not batted an eye in the face of the sort of pressure that they've had in this playoff series.
I agree. And you know what's – and that has been a thing. I know we were going to talk about it a little bit more, but the young teams, a lot of – there's a handful of them. The Ducks just advanced. Mm-hmm. Montreal's got a chance to advance. Buffalo's got a chance to
Utah.
Advance. Utah's, like we said in the last hour, they have had the lead in the third period of all five games against the Golden Knights, but they're down 3-2. But they've really outplayed Vegas. But Vegas is just so crafty. They know how to win. So it's really been fun to watch. You've got teams that haven't had a lot of success, mm-hmm. but they're trying to break through against sort of the old guard. And It's mixed results. Tampa, by the way, since they lost the Stanley Cup final in 22 and they lost to Colorado, they have not won a playoff round. They've lost the first round of 3 straight years, and they're trying to avoid a 4th straight year. So as great as they've been, as consistent as they've been, it's been a while since they've won a round, and Montreal's got them on the ropes, and they're playing in Montreal, which is a tremendous theater. So you watch that. If you could pick one game tonight to watch, and you don't have to stay up past midnight to do it.
It would be Montreal.
I would keep an eye on that game.
So yeah. has anything surprised y'all in this playoffs, Stanley Cup playoffs? Or has it kind of been like, okay, this is what I expected?
The only one I've gotten wrong so far, the ones that have ended, I was surprised that Edmonton.
Me too.
I knew Edmonton had issues. I did not think Edmonton would make a deep run, but I thought they would have enough to beat Anaheim just because Anaheim was struggling so badly down the stretch of the regular season.
And Anaheim felt like one of those teams that was like not quite ready.
Right.
Like they were there, but they weren't quite ready.
Yeah.
But the Edmonton Oilers have problems. So.
And I think it will show up in the next round. I think Anaheim will get exposed by whoever wins the Vegas Utah series. And I want to see if Vegas can they find a way to get one more game. It's not going to be easy against Utah.
As I've mentioned many times, Predators fans, I know that it's hard to root for the Golden Knights, but you want to root for the Golden Knights because if they get to the Western Conference Final, the Predators get a second round pick from the Nick Hague trade. It's a third round pick right now. If the Golden Knights win 2 rounds, it becomes a second round pick. So that would be helpful for the Predators.
One other quick note. A quick shout-out to my broadcast partner, Chris Mason.
All over TNT.
Okay. Two
All
straight
over
nights.
TNT.
Big, big elimination games. And he got featured games on TNT. So he is fast rising as the guy between the benches. He did the Philly-Pittsburgh clincher, an overtime game, really dramatic. And then last night, awesome atmosphere in Minnesota as they closed out the series against Dallas.
Did
a big interview with Quinn Hughes right after the clock expired, so he's making his mark, man.
That's what I'm talking
about.
Let's go.
What about your Pistons, Derek?
Oh, man, we were just talking about this at the barbershop today, man.
Trying to avoid the 1-8 loss.
Hey, it's looking grim, man. They don't have enough knockdown shooters. Cade Cunningham is playing well, but other guys are not showing up. Now they got to go back to Orlando because right now it's 3-2. They won last night. Was it last night? Yeah, last night. So they got to go back to Orlando and then got to come back home to try to end it, man. It's hard. It's going to be a big disappointment because they were the number one seed.
Well, I remember I wasn't watching the game, but I saw a post about Paolo Banchero having 45 points. And I was like, well, clearly the Magic would have won that game. And then I saw the score, and I was shocked to see the Pistons won. Mm. That's because Cade Cunningham also had 45 points.
Cade is a walking bucket, man. That kid can play.
What about the Lakers? I know you love your Lakers.
Yeah, Lakers, it's going to be tough for them too. You know, because Austin Reeve, I don't think he's back. Doncic is gone for the year, I believe. If not, at least for the if they advance, then maybe he'd be able to play. But they have so many injuries. But Houston hadn't been playing well either. You know, they were down at one point, what, 3-1? I think the Lakers were up. Or 2-0. And now, you know, Houston has made it a game, so a series at least. But I'm hoping the Lakers win and give them enough time for Austin Reeves to come back and you know, make this team a little bit better.
That'll do it for us today and this week. We had a wonderful time. We hope you did as well. We'll be back Monday at 3 p.m. as we continue to talk about the Titans offseason. We'll recap the Stanley Cup playoffs. We'll keep an eye on the Predators GM search. We'll do it all. We hope, again, we hope you had a wonderful week with us, just as we did with you. Have a wonderful weekend. We'll talk to you Monday at 3.
Be love, love on your people. And when I mean your people, I mean everybody. I love you. The team loves you. You hear this music, don't you forget about us, because we will not forget about you. Have a wonderful weekend. Be safe. And we will see you, or y'all will see us, come Monday at 3 p.m. We're going to be talking, and y'all going to be listening. Peace.